From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, February 15th, 2011. Each week this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week I saw a number of announcements that promise consumers will be able to use location-based services with far more ease. There will be shortcuts to the apps, some apps will come pre-installed, and more apps will be used passively. What does this trend suggest about the current and future state of location-based services? We'll ask that question after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Safe Software. Transform spatial data to use and share. Only FME gives you unlimited flexibility to restructure, reformat, and integrate data in more than 250 formats. Solve more interoperability headaches more easily with FME. Learn how at askfme.com.
Now let me start by ticking off the announcements that led me to identify this trend. First off, Foursquare has a deal with the Japanese telecommunications company KDDI to give users a shortcut for downloading Foursquare onto several of its Android phones. Now, that may not sound like a big deal, but if you're an Android user and you've worked with the Android marketplace in the past, you may be aware that it's not as easy to get what you want as you might think. It's getting better. So that was one data point. Another data point, Scavenger, which is based here in Boston, who have that sort of check-in game kind of application, announced that that application will be preloaded on the LG Optimus 5 prepaid phone from Virgin Mobile. So that's the first of those to come pre-installed. As an example of one of these sort of passive kinds of use of LBS where you don't have to actively check in, let me point to an application that got a lot of buzz this week again here in Boston called Street Bump. And what it is an application that you run on your smartphone that takes advantage of the sensors and the GPS in your phone, and ideally, when it's released, it's still in development, will automatically sense where there are cracks in the pavement and where there are potholes and report that in. So you don't even have to do anything. So I wanted to sort of start with those as indications that we're moving to this new place in location-based services, and I wanted to use that as an opportunity to sort of check in on where we are with location-based services. So Jill, let me start with you. What did you see in these announcements that helps us understand where we're at?
Well, let me start with the Scavenger announcement, because it's the most significant thing I found there was that, yes, it became preloaded. But really, the question to ask is, who is still controlling access to LBS apps? And it's, to me, it's still the carriers. And so Virgin Mobile made this move to preload. And that's a step. And that is a sign of market maturity. But the carriers are the guys that are still controlling the whole conduit for any LBS app. To me, it's sort of like what is happening with Apple and the music industry. They don't actually create the music, but they control the conduit to the music itself. And I think the wireless carriers are doing exactly the same. They're not creating the app, but they are controlling the conduit to the app. Now, we're not seeing any acquisitions at this point, but preloading is, I think, a step in that direction. So my thought was, I wonder if we're going to see any carriers acquiring any of these small LBS companies so that they can actually control. But I think that that's one indication of market maturity that, yeah, they're going to pre-install. So that was one observation I had.
I disagree with that, because I think with the marketplaces, the stores, the iPhone App Store and the Android Marketplace, as challenging as I suggest it is, that's letting developers, in a sense, run rampant.
Well, again, we saw what Virgin Mobile is doing is they're acknowledging the fact that this is the one important app that we think is absolutely essential for you to have. You don't have to download it. It's there. Go and use it. And I think, as you've said, some of the app stores are still a bit challenging. I find the BlackBerry App World Store terribly challenging because it's so slow, and you can't really find what you want. So I think that having something preloaded that you're just going to, hit the button and it's there is one of those things that are being controlled by the carriers themselves.
Okay, but that's Virgin Mobile. Do they count?
No. No, they're not. They don't have a huge market share. So that's why I would say somebody like an Apple or like a Verizon is probably going to, I think they may step into this and pre-select the apps that they think are important.
Well, and again, and this is a very U.S. kind of thing, because in Europe, where everything's unlocked, you buy a phone and you pick your carrier. Here, it doesn't work that way. Your carrier has much more control about which phones it supports and doesn't support.
Right. It's a different business model entirely.
Well, your observation may be quite valid. I think it's geographically limited. One of the things that's really interesting to me is this idea of passive apps. And certainly there's been discussion about this whole idea of using any kind of check-in service where you go to the restaurant, and the first thing you do before you even look at the menu is you have to flip out your phone and confirm that you're there. And certainly dining partners and dates don't like that at all. And that's beginning to change. So last summer, a new feature for Foursquare came out called Future Check-In, where you can say, well, if I go near this place that I often go, check me in automatically. And when Google announced its check-in for Latitude back at the beginning of February, it announced that there is an auto check-in and an auto check-out. So that, again, that will all happen in the background, assuming you have the app running. This application that I talked about here in Boston, to be used here in Boston, that would passively identify potholes, I think that's really important. And I think while it's nice for some of these games, it's far more important as we move to more use of LBS for citizen science, that is sort of gathering information via this variety of sensors. You're going to get much more data if the phone can just go out and collect it automatically without somebody having to key it in.
Yeah, I still have a problem with the check-in process. And the reason is if I use Foursquare, for example, it doesn't always find where I'm at. I have to go searching through the list of items on there to make sure that it's really there. And if it's not there, I got to punch it in. So the idea of automatic check-in, check-out is a good one. That had to happen for that type of check-in service to amount to anything, because you just don't want to be whipping out the phone every 10 minutes to check into a different place. But I think the accuracy of the check-in is lacking. I just don't find it right there yet. I don't know if that's the phone or the chip inside the phone, but that was one thing that it really, really bugs me at this point.
Now, here's a real question. Do either of these changes, it being easier to get the app, whether it's via a shortcut or whether it comes pre-installed, and the idea that you can participate in location-based activities passively, is that going to change how many people participate? I mean, ideally, the goal is yes, but will it actually work that way?
What I would ask you is, does the old issue with privacy rear its ugly head because it's all passive? Doesn't this bother people that it's all passive now? You don't even have to do anything. You just automatically give permission. Don't you think that is a big issue once again?
Well, it was an issue before, except that you had more control, I guess. You did it manually versus automatically. So that the problem is still there. I don't know that it's changed anything, really.
Well, to me, it's you forget about it. That's the issue. You've just laid that privacy issue off to the side, and I think that's a little dangerous. I don't have so much of a problem with it now, but I think it may be, it just goes away from people's mind, and that's the caution.
Okay, so outside of privacy, is the fact that it comes preloaded going to make more people play with Scavenger, for example?
Yeah, I think so. I think it will. I think you don't have to push the button, and I think that's one of those steps in the process that will have LBS apps become a little bit more popular.
I guess I'm just not convinced. I still haven't found that killer location-based app that would make me, you know, go out and search it out of the Android marketplace and download it and use it all the time. I mean, we haven't found that killer app, that Excel spreadsheet, you know, from back in the day that gave you a reason to have that desktop computer.
Right. Well, and I agree with you, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to relay a quote that I lifted from the interview I did with Claire Boonstra at Layer. So I quote, and she's specifically going to talk about augmented reality, but I think it applies here. So she says, and I quote, "The thing is this industry is still extremely young. It's embryonic. We are in the 1994 of the internet. It's very unclear what the Facebooks of AR will be," unquote. think the same absolutely applies here, and I think it goes right to your quote, where it says, there's nothing out there that really sings at this point. There's no killer LBS app. There's nothing that combines all of these apps that are out there, whether it's a Navi app or it's a check-in app. There's nothing that puts it all together. And I go back to my comment about the carrier. To my mind, it's the carrier that may find that they're going to acquire this company, that company, and combine some of these apps together that maybe puts this type of killer app all in one. And again, the holy grail here is not that you're checking in, it's location-based advertising. So just put that out on the table and say that's really where the holy grail is, and that's where you're going to be able to see some kind of app eventually come out. May not be this year, maybe it's 3 years down the road.
So you're suggesting that the killer app is going to be multifaceted, sort of going to be a package of apps that serve many functions and take full advantage and correspondingly provide significant return on investment that is going to make it the killer app.
Absolutely. It has to combine all of these things. And again, in order to generate revenue, it's going to be tied to advertising in some way.
Now,
that's, I think, what we're seeing.
Have we seen anything like that before where it was the package that was the killer app? I guess the only thing I can think of off the top of my head is Microsoft Office. Is that a fair comparison?
No, I think you got to go beyond that. I think my idea of the killer app was something like QuickBooks or TurboTax, because what's the underlying technology of those applications? It's nothing more than a spreadsheet or a database. But you don't call it a spreadsheet or database. Here is an app that does your taxes. And that, to me, is what we have to see. All of this great technology has to be behind the scenes of some app that people will want to use on a more daily basis.
Okay, so you would describe that as an app that does your location.
Right. It's you're passively aware of that, but it's incorporating that. And I really think what's striking about all of these apps is perhaps obvious to you, but I didn't necessarily realize it. It didn't hit me until now, is that we go back to the old stat that about 80% of all the data has a geographic component, right? And it's realized through an LBS app. If I go back to one of the things you pointed out, and we'll put a link on the website, is this contest that New York City is running and has all these apps out there. What a great assortment of apps that just blew my mind about what was going on out there. Yeah, the application that really blew my mind was this application called MyNav, and specifically for Peter Cooper Village in Stuyvesant Town, which is this 80-acre area with very similar looking apartment complexes. The person built an app just for this hyper local village, this hyper local neighborhood, where he combined a lot of different functions together. Walk from this place to here to there. It's a kind of a pedestrian app. It had a geocoding app to actually find an individual addresses. It had an augmented reality app so that when you tilted the phone horizontally, you could see the direction in which you had to go. It was a very, very nicely done application, but only for such a small and limited thing that really kind of just spun my mind around the thing that everything this guy put in the app had a location component, and it was all behind one app. So I thought it was a great application of this whole idea that location is everywhere, it's everything.
And that you could knit together all these different data sets, which right now we might have to go to 3 or 4 or 5 different apps to get at, it sounds like.
Correct. So that's kind of my ideal. This one was more or less on a hyper-local level, but expand your mind a little bit and you could envision something like that on a much broader scale.
Okay, so let's go back to this idea of this killer location app that might be put together by a big company like a Google or a Microsoft, where they could sort of wrap their arms around a bunch of technology, some of it theirs, maybe some of it their developers. Could this also live in the operating system? I mean, could this be like an Android, you know, part of Android or part of Microsoft Windows Mobile 7?
Maybe the question is, why hasn't it been there before? Maybe it should have been there all along in the operating system. That may be the question to ask, is maybe it eventually goes down to that level within the OS.
Well, maybe the answer to that, I was trying to parse that even as you were asking the question, is that location has lived in so many different places across those two companies, Google and Microsoft, right? It sort of crosses between the professional and the consumer, and then there's been the mobile and the non-mobile. And, you know, Microsoft has had things like Streets and Trips. Geography has been sort of thrown out across all of the product lines, and it sounds like for both of those companies and maybe some others, this is a time where we really want to knit that stuff together and make it part of that core platform so it can support us across the board. And maybe that's what's happening with Nokia and Microsoft.
Right. And yeah, that's a good thing. And we'll have a link to more information about that if our listeners haven't heard about that development. But it also brought to mind when, you know, we had Marissa Mayer on our on-point discussion that maybe that's why they moved her into that role, to get location more deeply embedded in some of the apps that Google is putting out. And maybe to some degree, having Microsoft and hiring Steve Coast would put more of that emphasis on VGI and community crowdsourced information. So yeah, I think both those companies have made moves that would give the indication that location is becoming more important.
And I guess the other side of that is not only let's pull all that together and wrap our arms around it and make it a platform that we can use across our product lines, but these announcements this week indicate, and we've got to start breaking down the barriers to entry, whether it's finding the app or installing the app or making the app requiring too much attention. Let's make it more passive. Maybe that's part of that story as well.
Yeah, I would agree, and the issue is let's make it so much easier that it is not something you have to manually do.
And you won't go out of your way to avoid it. It'll be so easy and elegant to use that you'll just have to. Which leads me to my final comment. Let's see what Apple does. That's all the time we have. Before we go, our sponsor Safe Software asks, feeling CAD-fused? Disorganized? FME can help. Only FME gives you unlimited flexibility to restructure, reformat, and integrate data in more than 250 formats, so you can transform data to use and share. Solve more interoperability headaches more easily with FME. Learn how at askfme.com. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com, or you can leave a comment at Directions Magazine. That's directionsmag.com, where this podcast is hosted.
And a few reminders from us here at Directions. Please check out our new channels, our new web resources for finding news and trends related to your field of interest at directionsmag.com/channels. We also have a few webinars coming up, not this week, but next week, the week of the 21st. Join us for our on-point discussion with Don Cook from Esri. We'll talk about community mapping. You can find more information about our webinars at directionsmag.com/webinars.
Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.